Good afternoon. It is approximately 1:34 p.m. Wednesday, September 22nd, 2001. This is a Public Service Commission meeting in the Public Service Commission hearing room on the 12th floor of the State Capitol, Bismarck, North Dakota. The purpose of the meeting is to conduct a public hearing on proposed changes to the Commission's administrative rules. I am Commissioner Randy Christman, filling in for our chair, Commissioner Julie Fedorchek, who is participating remotely. With me today in the room also is Commissioner Brian Crotius. Commissioner Crotius, did you have anything you wanted to comment before we start?
Nope, no comments.
And Commissioner Fedorchek?
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate you taking the lead on this without me being there. And I just look forward to a good hearing today. This is an issue that we had a lot of conversation on during the legislative session, and staff has proposed some language to sort of quantify how we're going to measure, how we can measure reliability standards. And I'm looking forward to hearing from those who are affected by this and get their thoughts. So thank you to staff. Thank you to industry. Look forward to a good hearing.
Thank you. The purpose of the proposed rule amendment is to address reporting requirements and criteria for a public utility's reliable service obligation pursuant to the passage of Senate Bill 2313 of the 67th Legislative Assembly. The proposed new section in 6909-0206 is to establish rules and guidelines as directed by the legislature for assessment of penalties, fines, and disallowances if an electric public utility fails to meet its obligation to provide reliable service to customers within the state. The proposed rules also clarify information required and the manner in which the electric public utilities shall report records and statistics relating to reliable service to its customers. The Commission has scheduled this public hearing to allow everyone the opportunity to submit information or comments concerning the adoption of proposed changes to the North Dakota Administrative Code. All comments received at this public hearing will be considered by the Commission together with all other written comments received. Written comments may be submitted until the close of business on October 4th, 2021. The Public Service Commission will consider all the comments received and address the comments in its written decision. Anyone may request a copy of the decision, and it will be provided via email or regular mail. The decision and all other filings in this case will also be available on the Commission's website, which is www.psc.nd.gov. This hearing is being broadcast over the internet and is also being electronically recorded. We ask anyone who would like to comment to take the witness chair and speak into the microphone so that the broadcast and recording will be of good quality. When the red light is on, the broadcast is live. Oh, it used to be over here. It's up on the ceiling there. Everyone will be given the opportunity to speak. People, please identify yourself for the record before you speak and speak slowly and clearly. If you have a prepared statement, a written copy of your statement is appreciated and will be helpful. There is a sheet, where's the sign-up sheet? At the table there on the red clipboard. Please sign the sheet. I will now open the hearing for comments. Does anyone wish to testify on case number PU-21-360 concerning the proposed rules?
Good afternoon, commissioners. This is Sheila Harris for XL Energy.
Oh, just a minute. Sheila, we have one on the stand here ahead of you, our staff person, Victor Shook.
Okay, thank you. I can't see, so please just let me know when it's appropriate time for us to give our comments.
Okay, Sheila, and I'll count on staff to help me remember that if Victor goes on a real long time.
Thank you.
Okay. So my name is Victor Shook, Public Utility Analyst with the Public Utilities Division of the Public Service Commission. A lot of use of the word public in there. The purpose of this testimony is to describe the proposed administrative rule changes to North Dakota Administrative Code Article 6909 pertaining to the standards of electric service and requirement for reliable service. Proposed rule changes implement North Dakota Century Code Chapter 490519. The proposed change to 6909-0206, continuity of service, establishes rules necessitated by the 2021 legislated reliable service obligation under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 490519. The proposed rule adopts reliability measurements established by the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers Incorporated as a way to assess reliable service. This concludes my testimony. Thank you.
I'm not sure whose portfolio this falls under. I'm going to call on you first, Commissioner Crosius, if you have any questions.
Just a couple, Victor. Could you just give a differentiate in terms of what we have been doing in terms of looking at reliability and getting those types of records and data from the utilities, that electric utilities that we have jurisdiction over, and how this is different from what we have done in the past?
Sure. I don't see this as necessarily different, but just kind of a way to apply it to all utilities. So in the past, in my research, we've really only used reliability metrics for Northern States Power Company. That came from a 2012 rate case, and the specifics within that were around SAIDI. And there was a threshold set in that case for a number of years that they had to meet the prescribed SAIDI, and if they did, there was a incentive award to them for meeting that. And there were some other things along with that, some penalties for not meeting some customer reliability specifics. And along with that was some MED or major event days as well. Kind of the quantifying of those and considering of MED days. MED days are used to exclude certain incidents from the calculation of the SAIDI threshold. And SAIDI, sorry, is a System Average Interruption Duration Index. And this kind of just expands further on that. So all of the metrics that we're proposing to collect are developed by that IEEE standard. And not knowing exactly where the commission may decide to go with this, we thought it was best to collect all of the data and have some years of history prior to setting a particular requirement for reliability.
And for NSP, that was tied to the Fargo issues, is that correct?
That's what led to it. They had a number of issues in Fargo at the time, so they had a number of things in place, SAIDI and actually SAIFI as well, were both used to try to improve the reliability within the Fargo, but it applied to all of NSP's territory in North Dakota.
Okay, and I'm just asking these questions as kind of the baseline, but since this is moving not necessarily beyond that, but expanding some of the methods that it's evaluated and et cetera. How about the other utilities that beyond Xcel, were they also being monitored by staff for reliability in the same fashion?
No. No. Okay. This specifically came out of at least one, actually. I know it's back. It was actually an earlier rate case that started this in 2010. But NSP kind of had more pronounced issues in the, like you say, in the Fargo area that led to this, among other things. I mean, there was, at the same time as this, there were some prescribed investments into resources that can improve reliability for customers. So this was one of the tools that they used to try to better the reliability in that area.
Would you say the exclusions, since that would... that's going to come into play in some way, shape, or form. Are you talking like an ice storm a severe weather-related event or another provider curtailing delivery?
So not necessarily another provider, but something along the lines of an ice storm, a windstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the types of things that generally lead to. So a med day is a major event day that is essentially excluded from the calculation of your outage minutes. And those are, it's a formula essentially saying if it's an event that results in a certain number of minutes, a single event, that's likely some major storm or something of the like that should be excluded for the purposes of normalization. And within NSPs, there was some discussion about whether or not a med day should be used for exclusion or not based on what caused it. And we did have some issues with that a few years ago where one of the med days that NSP had in their reporting was caused by a pole fire. And a pole fire was one of the specific instances that they had a large number of that led to the requirement to begin with. So at that time, staff had made an argument that it would not be appropriate to remove that as a med day because it's the specific issue we were trying to resolve.
Do you think the med days are specific, or do you think they're somewhat subjective in terms of how we would evaluate and review those or make a determination on, well, this is a med day versus this isn't
so
a med day?
Under the traditional consideration set out in these standards, med days are med days. They don't differentiate for why they are. If it is a day that meets or an incident that meets that criteria, it can be excluded. I wasn't around when we wrote that settlement agreement in that order about considering the appropriateness of the exclusion of med days, but I assumed at the time that they were concerned about things such as pole fires and trees falling on lines and things that they were specifically trying to address could cause those and would not be appropriate to remove them from that set of metrics.
Okay. So in terms of how we look at and evaluate outages, that criteria is very specific, it's not subjective in nature, and it's very clear in terms of what will or won't qualify because that will factor in.
Correct. It's specific about what will and will not qualify, but I believe we tried to anticipate some of that, those concerns, and I if I'm remembering what we put in those rules at this point, we wanted to see the med days, including the reason codes for why they are, you know, what caused that outage. So that if we want to utilize something like that and say it's not appropriate to include this as a med day, this will count against your outage minutes, we could do so. This isn't saying we need to or we should. This is allowing us the opportunity. And that was what our overarching goal was with how we set up these rules, was to allow the commission the opportunity to look at whatever metric they feel is appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any concerns with all of the upstream factors beyond upstream from generation, from the point of delivery to the customer, going upstream to the generating units? Do you have any concerns that this will be difficult to measure?
No. The generation and transmission units wouldn't necessarily factor in. I mean, this is distribution level system issues.
Mm-hmm.
Issues on the generation and transmission side, to the point that they would cause power to not be delivered, do not happen on a regular basis at this point. That's not saying they never will, and that's a whole separate discussion. But for the purposes of this, I'm not concerned with those leading to outage minutes or days.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I don't have any other questions.
Chairman Fedorchak.
Thanks, Randy. Victor, how did you guys land on these metrics, and how do they compare to any other states that collect kind of similar data and in our region, if you looked at any of those?
Sure. So we landed on these metrics because we wanted to, like I was just saying, cover the wide range of potential possible metrics or requirements that the commission may want to utilize. This kind of covers the whole gamut from your total system average to only looking at customers who had an outage, how long they were out, to how many times a particular customer was out. It kind of goes through the entire range of possibilities so that the commission can choose the appropriate measurement that it feels is best to gauge reliability in North Dakota. Another reason we chose these is this is widely utilized. Companies do largely report this information currently as part of their FERC filings. Was there another one in there?
Oh, good. Julie? So that's not it's not going to be a big burden for them to gather this stuff. You feel like they're collecting it already?
That's my belief, yes. From the data I reviewed already, most of this is already information that we can pull from online sources. We don't necessarily receive it from the companies at present, but it was information that we were able to quickly and easily find, so that tells me the company is already reporting that somewhere.
Yeah. All right, and is it is the thought from staff that we would pick and choose certain ones to include in the rules or include all of them and then have the flexibility to have whatever standard might be most appropriate given the circumstances on any given outage?
So staff's thought process was, let's include all of these right now and with the rule. If the commission, once we have some years worth of data, or I guess whatever time period the commission would prefer, once we have that data, then we can review it and see, okay, what is a reasonable standard to set on one of these particular metrics that are being collected. So our preference would be collect all of the data and then at a later date choose what the standard is going to be.
Thank you. And then you may or may not know this, but do our neighboring states collect this information? Any in our near region?
I do not know.
Okay.
Other than to the extent, like I said, this information that I reviewed online primarily came from FERC filings. So to the extent it's available in a FERC filing, it's available to other states as well. So.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. I don't have any more questions for Victor.
My questions were regarding whether the companies have to create something to collect this information or not, and you've indicated that they do not. They already collect this, so I have no questions for you either.
Okay.
I think Commissioner Karasius has a follow-up, though.
Yep. I have one more. You can't escape quite yet. You're close. So you had... My impression is that this mimics what the FERC is already doing, what utilities are already providing to them.
It's similar. So some of these metrics are already there, but the underlying data that is used to calculate them should already be in the company's possession because you need all of those data points to calculate most of them.
Do you think we're duplicating? Do the rules essentially duplicate then what's already being done, or no, this takes it a step further because...
I guess I don't see this as duplication, but this is North Dakota collecting North Dakota specific information. And we go a little bit further into there. You know, there is some discussion about somewhere in here. I gotta find it now. Oh, this is the law I'm looking at now, our rules. These statistics will be compiled for each electric public utility, for its North Dakota distribution system, for each single community, and for each important division of a community. So that language mimics other language that exists in the law for outage type of information, in our rules for other outage type of information. It allows us the opportunity to look at specific areas. You know, kind of going back to the NSP example, if they have a Fargo issue, we could address a Fargo issue versus looking at Grand Forks and Minot in the same bucket. That information would absolutely be different than what they're currently filing with FERC. It would be more detailed.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Fedorchak, one more time around.
No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Victor. Brian, were you going to testify or?
No, and I didn't have any questions for Victor either, so we're good.
Okay, then I think we are ready to turn to the public. I don't know if there's a, I see utilities represented and at least one remotely. I don't know if there's a specific order, if this is an organized effort to go in a certain order. Okay, I will call on Excel then, on Travis's advice, to go first.
Thank you, Commissioner Kristen. Shuba Harris for Xcel Energy. I am standing in today for my colleague, Dave Cedarquist, who is on a well-deserved vacation, a cruise, I believe. I had hoped to be on camera, but it appears my camera is not working, so I apologize for that. We do have a short presentation on some of what we are providing, what we're doing in North Dakota regarding reliability and the metrics that we can provide. I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Patrick Kredich. He is the manager of electric distribution system performance, and I think he has a short PowerPoint presentation he'd like to share.
Thank you, Shuba. I was looking to share my presentation and, oh, mine just opened up. Let's see.
And Patrick, while that's opening, would you spell your name for us?
I would be happy to. It's
your last
K-U-R-E-T.
Name?
Oh, I'm sorry. The last name is K-U-R-E-T Edward Thomas I-C-H.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, good afternoon, commissioners and chair. My name is Patrick Kredich. As Shuba mentioned, I work with Xcel Energy. I'm in the electric distribution system performance department. Today, I'm going to be providing some remarks and comments around the proposed rulemaking. One item I just kind of wanted to apologize about in advance is there is a lot of acronyms in the proposed rulemaking and subsequently in our presentation. So as we go through this, if there's clarification that's needed, I'll do my best to answer any kind of questions. I have a little cheat sheet as well on what some of these acronyms are if it's needed. So engineers love their acronyms, so I do apologize for that in advance. Before providing our comments specific to the proposed rules, I wanted to give a little bit of background to some of the previous reporting we've done in North Dakota and our historical reliability. Historically, in North Dakota, we provided very good reliability. Right now, I'm showing our SAIDI statistics for the last 5 years. I think, as previously mentioned, SAIDI stands for System Average Interruption Duration Index. Mouthful, I know. Basically, it's looking at average minutes a customer would be out during the course of the year. That reliability has scored in the top quartile when we look at IEEE benchmarking, which means the top 25% of utilities that are benchmarked. And as we compare to Xcel Energy as a whole, we are also out in North Dakota, we outperform Xcel Energy overall. So we're doing very well against other utilities, and we're also doing very well even against our own utility when we look at North Dakota against Xcel Energy. We've had successful partnerships in the past with the commission along the lines of reliabilities and improvements that have really helped us continue to drive good reliability in the state. So when we look at, regardless of the outcome of this rulemaking, Xcel Energy will continue that our effort and our relationship to continue good reliability in North Dakota. As far as reporting goes, as it was previously mentioned, we have done reporting with North Dakota. In our electric jurisdictional report in the years 2015, 2016, and 2017, we provided a reliability performance plan. And inside that performance plan, we did provide a handful of reliability statistics and other data regarding reliability. I'm not going to necessarily go through the entire list here, but we provided some of the metrics that are being proposed in the current rulemaking, and we also provided some metrics and data that were not proposed in the rulemaking that if the commission had found value in those in the past, these are criteria that we could continue to provide again if the commission saw value in those. I do have, before I get to some of our comments on the proposed rules, I wanted to take a moment and pause and see if there was any questions from commissioners or the chair.
None for me, Randy.
No, I'm seeing none. You can continue on, Patrick.
Okay. Having done previous reporting in North Dakota, Xcel Energy has some context on what metrics we can report on based on our data sources and the information that we have already, and you know what metrics might be challenging. So assessing what was in the rules or the proposed rules, there is going to be many of these that we are going to be able to meet as proposed, but there's going to be a handful that we are going to recommend not be included in the proposed rulemaking. Some of the recommendations are in really along the lines of what we have the ability with our data sources and systems as we do today. The metrics that we would recommend would be, I have them up here and I'll read them. So it's SAIDI, SAIFI, and CAIDI. These are kind of like the three, you know, three main metrics. Average Service Availability Index, that's CSEMI, which is customers experiencing multiple outages. We would need to define that one a little bit more, as that's usually defined by number of outages where we want to track. So a CME 4, a CME 5. So you want to look at 4 more outages or 5 more outages. So something we could report on, we would just want to define how we want to report there. And then we would also provide that detailed breakdown, which had been mentioned earlier as well, about major event days or MEDs that are used for normalization. Another item was, as we looked at the requirement to report on the community or important division of a community level, depending on what is considered a community or a important division of a community, that might be very difficult for Xcel Energy to report on based off of our data sources and how things are organized today. Our recommendation would be, however, to report on what we might consider a divisional level. So that would be a Fargo, North Folks, and Minot. So instead of, this would give more granularity as compared to just providing these at the state level, but would also fall within our current capabilities. And then also, as previously mentioned, there were metrics and statistics that we reported on previously that were not in the current filing that we could continue to provide reporting on if the commission saw value in those. Those include top 10 outage causes, and it also included reliability metrics as they relate to some of the larger substations in North Dakota. As I mentioned a few moments ago, while we will be able to meet many of the requirements as proposed in the rules, there are going to be a handful that we are going to recommend are not included. I'm not going to read these acronyms here, but there's going to be some of these that we currently don't have the data sources and the calculations and the methods to provide these metrics. So that would be, you know, there would be work and possible resource allocation needed on our side to make that happen. There's going to be metrics that we simply just don't have the data sources for and just cannot report on at this time. And there's also going to be metrics that we have incomplete data sources for. So while we could provide reporting on these, they would provide incomplete results, and therefore those we would recommend that they not be included in the proposed reliability statistics. Before I hand this back to Shuba Harris, I wanted to pause again to see if there was any questions on what I just went through.
Commissioner Karashis?
I do have a question for you. I'm trying to find the wording again. Require significant effort, would require significant effort. What about cost? What would that effort, from a cost standpoint, and as a part of cost, will you have to do any programming, put an additional software program in place to track at a more detailed, specific level? Have you run any numbers in terms of what it would mean from a cost standpoint?
We have not run numbers from a cost standpoint. You know, significant effort, depending on the metric, could mean many things. It could mean expansion of, you know, programming and data sources. So if it's data we already collect, but it might be in a different location, we might have to do programming to move it to a different, you know, move it somewhere else, or to provide the calculations that are required for that. It may be that we just don't collect the data at all right now. So that would be, that might mean, you know, installation of devices or programs to try to move and collect that data.
Okay. Anecdotally, would you say the cost would be material in terms of the impact to ratepayers, or?
I think difficult for me to quantify the cost. I do think that with any of the ones that we have recommended that we would not be in the rulemaking, that there would be a cost, whether it be a software or a capital cost. I would not be able to speak to it this time.
Right. And it's the same question I'll have for any other members testifying from the public or, in effect, utilities. What's the price tag on this? Because ultimately, if it's a requirement, then companies will be entitled to recovery and a return on that investment as well. So if you could keep that in mind in terms of as you continue to evaluate and are able to provide any numbers in that respect from a cost standpoint, I'd appreciate it.
Understood. Well, you know, we will work to provide, address that in at least some context in our written comments.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
No more questions for Patrick. Thank you.
Patrick, did I understand you right that at least among the metrics that you said you do collect and that you would be supportive of reporting, like if we were talking about a specific, what did you call it, a specific division level, that whatever it showed for that, you can't just draw a line around a certain area, you know, of one of those cities and say, well, we want just this part of the town north of Main Street and west of Central Avenue or something, and that it would then give that data for that subset. Your system doesn't keep track of it that way?
Not in the way you're describing.
Okay.
You know, we could draw a box, but then there would be a manual effort as far as to allocate what was inside that area to a statistic.
Okay. Mr. Johnson has a follow-up question for you as well.
Just to clarify something, the rules as they currently exist state that each utility shall keep a record of all interruptions to service affecting the entire distribution system of any single community or an important division of a community, and include the record, or in the record, the date and the time of the interruption. Now, your presentation seems to tell me that you guys are currently incapable of complying with the rules as they already exist. Is that accurate?
We do keep a record of all events.
Okay.
And all added.
But the rules require you to break it down to a single community, and in your presentation, you're telling me that you can't do that. So you're telling me that right now you can't even comply with the rules as they exist. Is that correct? Or can you go down to the community level and even a little bit further if it's a significant or an important division of a community?
I think what I tried to state in the presentation is to go down to the community or a lower level would be an effort on our part. It was not something that, you know, is readily available. So we would be able to comply with the rules. It would just be a...
Okay. But do you understand that the rules already require you go down to the community level?
Correct. And if we had to report on that, I'm under the understanding that we can report on that.
So then why is it a difficulty to include it in this new portion of the rules as well?
I think it's for, I guess I'd have to think about that a little bit. My understanding is we look at all these metrics to do that, you know, to provide the outages for a community level. Again, this is something we could do. If we're being asked to do that for a large amount of metrics, I think that you're looking at it just an expansion of how difficult that could be.
Okay. No further questions.
Okay. Anything else? For either of you? Anyone from XL?
I think Shuba Harris has some final comments.
Shuba, it sounds like we're ready for you to continue on.
Thank you, Patrick and Commissioner Christman. Just a couple of final wrap-up points. So we do some annual jurisdictional reporting on May 1st, and we would ask or suggest that this reporting be done alongside of that reporting, if that is agreeable to the commission. I wanted to just say one thing on the penalties paragraph. The penalties, disallowances, and fines are punitive measures that the company takes very seriously. We think that there needs to be some more specific requirements that define what constitutes a penalty. Reliable service means many and different things to commissions, to utilities, and to stakeholders. And through this process, we think the rulemaking should outline the specifics with respect to penalties. In short, utilities need to understand the rules of the road for providing reliable service and what before a penalty is administered. For example, North Dakota Statute 69-06-11 requires utilities to install aircraft detection lighting systems and includes specific deadlines for installation of the system. If the utility does not install the system by the deadline set forth in the statute, the utility is subject to a penalty. It is that kind of specificity that we think is needed with respect to penalties for reliability. We do appreciate that the commission has kicked off this process, and we recommend that the commission work with its staff, with all the utilities and the stakeholders to create specific and measurable requirements and thresholds. And of course, we are happy to collaborate with the commission staff and stakeholders on this.
Okay.
And with that, unless there are further questions, that concludes my remarks, our remarks. And we plan to submit comments and we'll address some of the concerns or issues that were raised and any others that come up during this hearing.
Okay, and will you also be submitting the PowerPoint that was included here for part of the record?
Yes, we sure can.
Okay, thank you. I am not seeing any other questions. I'll just wrap it up one more time for you before you sign out. Commissioner Fedorchak, did you have anything else?
I don't. Thank you.
Okay. We are ready to go on to the next witness, but thank you, Shuba and Patrick.
Thank you.
Go ahead when you're ready.
Travis Jacobson. Travis Jacobson with Montana Dakota Utilities Company. And so I think we're not all that different than what Excel provided. We currently have, and we do report in North Dakota, SADE and SAFE in our annual report. We also have the ability to do CADE, and we can do them on an annual basis. So, unfortunately, the individual that was going to present isn't here today. I have with me today is Rebecca Naslin. She's our senior engineer here located in Bismarck. And so if you have specific questions regarding the metrics and how we collect those and whatnot, I'm going to have to turn it over to her. I'm not that familiar with it. You know, some of our concerns were addressed, and some of the metrics, we have some of the information, but not all of the information. Ours is currently on a paper-based system, and it's manual. So each of the districts, hopefully I'm saying this right, collects the data over the year. That's submitted then to our general office at the end of each year, and the statistics are compiled. We have looked at an outage management system on our distribution, for our distribution system. And I, again, the individual would have been more able to present this. We're looking at an investment somewhere between the $3 and $5 million mark on the software side. And it would require a dispatch desk similar to what we have on the transmission side to monitor that on a 24-hour basis. My understanding, and this is a little bit off memory, we'll clean this up when we do our comments, but we're looking at about 15 individuals that would need to man that particular process. In that, we would have real-time data, and so every outage would then be logged into the system at the time it happens and logged out when it's over. It would be a robust system that would be able to capture the vast majority of that that's proposed in the rules. There are a couple of them in there that I'm not sure exactly. Again, Daryl would have been able to answer that, and Rebecca will be if we need to get into that more. But my understanding is some of the metrics are still, there are computations that are done kind of behind the scenes, so we'd have to investigate those a little further. But when we talked about the communities, you know, for instance, we're in 117 communities in North Dakota. A lot of those are not Bismarck-sized. They're much smaller. We do keep the data in a manual database currently. I think in order to get the majority of what's captured in this, again, we'd have to do the OMS, the outage management system. And if we are going to comply with, you know, even a scale back rules, we would probably have to hire at least one individual to manage those paper documents to get a little bit more detail. I think those were the points that Daryl had provided to me. I mentioned currently our reporting in North Dakota is SADE and SAFE. Those are the only two that we do. In contrast, in Montana, we provide SAFE, SADE, and CADE in an annual report, electric reliability report that we do on an annual basis there. Currently ours is, and it was brought up by Excel, part of our annual report, electric annual report in North Dakota. We do a separate one in Montana. But again, it's all part of that manual process. And then in South Dakota, we do the same three metrics, the SAFE, SADE, and CADE. And with that, I don't really have any other comments. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm available if you do have specific questions. If they're too specific, I'll turn it over to Rebecca.
Commissioner Karashis?
I'll try not to be too specific, okay. But I might be. Okay. We'll find out. Okay, so I've got a couple of different areas. I'm going to start with the $3 to $5 million software requirement. That's for the OMS?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. And that would be necessary or needed to be able to comply with how the proposed rules are written?
I think in order to fully comply, I think we'd have to do the full system. And then, you know, one complication that I didn't mention, in order to do that, we would not be able to have the system live until probably mid-2023. So we have done some work on that, and Daryl did present to management recently on that topic, and the decision is still with management on whether to move forward with that. But just the timing of that to get, you know, currently we have a few different systems, and to kind of sync all that up, the implementation, so would be in 2023, which then our first reporting would be, I'm not sure if we'd be able to report in 23, but 24 then would be our first full year of the system being in place.
Okay, beyond the, as a part of that, and I'll get into the FTEs next, annual maintenance requirements, software updates over the course of time, that would, do you have any just a rough guess on what annual, that would be on an annual basis?
I
if you can't answer, that. We might have to pull you up afterward, just because you probably shouldn't feed too much information to him. So, okay, I'll wait on that. Pretty easy question, but I'm just trying to get a handle on, okay, you know, we could, you know, figure out the amortization schedule if it came to that on the 3 to 5 million. The 15 FTEs with benefits, wages, etc. What type of qualifications would they need? Would it be safe to say that they would run at least in that, with benefits included and everything else, in the $80,000 to $100,000 a year range per employee? So we're talking another 1.2 to 1.5 million on an annualized basis for that.
And I will point out that would be for our integrated system. And, you know, so it would encompass Montana, South Dakota.
Okay.
We don't currently have these as significant of reporting rules there, but it would encompass the other states as well.
You would have to seek recovery from them, which of course we don't have anything to do with, but make that value proposition to them. Do you have existing office space for those 15 FTEs if you had to hire them?
I believe we would work within our office space currently.
So no additional cost there. Well, these are, for me, they're important components to keep in mind as we're evaluating how these rules are written and striking the right balance, because ultimately this goes back to the ratepayer. Do you know how you currently rank for reliability compared to national statistics?
I don't have those statistics in front of me.
Anecdotally? Okay. Okay, so I suspect you're doing very well, because North Dakota is a leader nationally in reliability, one of the leading states. Well, as you work through the process, continuing to evaluate, again, my same request as to Excel, and that is getting a handle on costs so we can strike the correct balance as we're evaluating how these are written and trying to take a common sense approach to it, knowing that cost is definitely comes into the equation. I don't have any other questions, because I think you said that some that I had for Excel you would echo or have a similar position on in general. So
generally, yes.
Generally. Okay. Okay, no other questions, and I'll wait for some more specifics when.
Okay.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Yeah, I just want a clarification. Travis, did you say on the FTEs required to comply with this? Could you go through that again?
So essentially what it would require would be a 24-hour desk that is monitoring our entire distribution system. And again, you know our system, we're, you know, all the way from Fort Peck, Montana, down into South Dakota. So there's a lot of area to cover, but what they would do then is they would have real-time access to all of our distribution facilities, and then every outage, as it's reported, it would be logged, and so that the data is real-time. So, but really it's the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week nature that really drives your FTE count.
So what do you say to Victor's comment earlier that this is data that you're already collecting and providing to FERC, et cetera?
I'd have to see what particular information we give to FERC. I'm not aware that we give all of these statistics to FERC, but I would gladly visit with Victor after this meeting and see where what he's looking at and the information that he's referencing.
Okay, yeah, and then maybe you can, I don't know what the filing deadline is, but I think a clarification on that is pretty important because there's a big spread in what staff's assumptions are or belief and what you're saying you have to create in order to comply. And I think you can narrow down which of the criteria that are listed are the most problematic versus stuff that you're already doing so that we can do a cost benefit on whether we want to require, you know, some of those specific metrics or not based on how much additional work they are for your company.
Were you waiting on a comment on that, or was that your wrap up?
No, I don't need a comment. Just if he can do that, that was, and confirm that that's something he can do and file.
Okay, and to clarify, the filing deadline is October 4th, but I will just say, knowing how our utilities work with our staff on myriad topics throughout the year, hopefully it wouldn't wait until the last minute in case there needs to be follow-up, because we're just trying to gather information here and learn. So
certainly.
I just wanted to clarify from, you mentioned, you know, the difficulty of providing some of this information, the difficulty in cost, but the things that you do provide in South Dakota and Montana already, the Sadie Safey and Katie, those things, those three, you could provide at little or no additional cost.
I believe that's true. We, again, you know, I just pointed out it's a manual process that we have in place today. So the districts compile the data, they send it in, and it's all compiled in an Excel spreadsheet. So I would agree that I do not believe there would be incremental costs for providing those. And again, in North Dakota, in our annual report, we do Sadie and Safey already. So if we were to add in a line for Katie, we would be able to do that. Now, in terms of by community, again, we have 117 communities. I believe the information is generally available. That's not how we currently report it. I believe the information's there. It would be just volumetrically, it's going to be a lot more data that we would have to provide.
Because it seems like there is some importance to that, especially with some of the small communities. You know, if there are a couple of people with issues and they're reaching out, and you know, if it's just some anomaly, how do we know that? So we hear these things and there's no record of it. So how would we then conclude anything but you have a problem in that town? So it seems like there's some value, but hopefully we can work through it and figure out what is reasonable and what isn't for gathering here. Any other questions, staff? Okay. Rebecca, were you going to come up and respond to some of the things that were unanswered?
I do have.
For just, Travis?
Yeah, just, okay. Or if you want to defer to Rebecca on this, but our attorney, Brian Johnson, mentioned earlier the requirements of providing this information already on a single community basis, or the need to, requirement to. But as the revisions are worded, not trying to lead you to this, but correct me if I'm wrong. Here's what I'm hearing: some type of a flexibility in terms of, on a selective basis, if, for example, we hear that there are reliability issues in a smaller community that you serve, say, okay, you know, we're getting complaints. People are saying, hey, the power's always out. And then we, if we had it, you know, within, in a more general sense, but then with the ability to ask about a specific community, is that what you're suggesting in terms of making this less prescriptive, but still having that capability, or the commission would still have that capability?
So I think the answer to that is yes, but I would ask that Rebecca confirm that.
Okay.
She's done a lot of the, yeah. The reason that I reached out to her is she has provided the information for the regulatory group in the past and is familiar with it. And again, unfortunately, the individual that was going to present wasn't able to be here.
Fair enough. But, you know, just remember, this is your opportunity to say, well, this is how it's worded and here's why it's problematic, but then to take it a step further and say, but if it were presented in this fashion or with this wording, as long as we could still get down to that granular level when needed, if it would mean a significant cost difference in the approach, I'd certainly want to know that.
So. Okay.
Thank you, Travis.
I took notes, but I'm thinking it'd be better if you just asked again, if that's all right.
And before you start, sure. I'm sorry, Rebecca, your last name.
Naslund, N as in Nancy, A S as in Sam, L U N D as in David.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Karashis. Go ahead.
Okay, the one question again was more. I don't want to call it general in nature, but I'm really trying to get a handle on the annualized costs of having the employees on site. And every utility is going to be different, but do you have enough current office space if it got to that point? Any thoughts or idea what the annual maintenance and requirements would be for the software system? Was that shared at all or presented in the bid?
No, and I don't know what that specific, from what we were looking at, my general knowledge would be that it'd probably be around $50,000 just for that software annual maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. And then what you had said for the full-time employees.
Okay. The one question I had is how you rank nationally in terms of reliability. I think Minnesota. North Dakota overall, I believe, is less than 60 minutes. Of interruptions on an annual basis. That's across the board, but that, I think that includes everyone.
Yes, we are one of the top ranking states from my recollection.
Okay, so nothing in terms of the average outage is 54 minutes for an MDU electric customer.
I could look at
or 58
the...
or... And
I don't have right with me. Travis does, actually. Yeah, so we are under 60 minutes. So we've got 55 minutes. Yes.
My memory's slipping. It was somewhere in the middle. So I don't know. Did I have... I think that was... I'm trying to think if I... Well, the other question was in terms of, do you have wording... that might be more practical, and yet we could still get to what we would need to at any given time for an individual community. Something to that effect, that it would be more, provide the flexibility needed at a reduced cost if the language was changed to this instead.
Yes, in the past, we have been able, we are capable of providing those indices down to that community level, if asked. The portion that would be, that we are not able to do is when we're talking specific customers, a specific individual. So that's where you get into the other indices like the CHEMI, I think it might be called, CTAIDI, that one. We would need to implement the OMS in order to be able to possibly provide those indices.
I see. Okay. So the community level, that's accessible now, yes. But once you drill down yet another level, that's where the software investment would be required, the FTEs, et cetera?
Yes.
Okay. All right, perfect. I don't have any other questions.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
It sounds like Rebecca kind of has some of the info to answer the question I asked of Travis regarding which ones they can provide currently and which ones they can't and what might be involved in having to get those. So that will be very helpful. I don't think I have anything else, but maybe one thing that I'm thinking about is what of these statistics gets, or this data, shines light on outages that really aren't your decision or might be triggered by the RTO shutting down, like rolling blackouts. Is there any information that would give that sort of, or is there any of those metrics that would give that sort of information, or is that something that we should be asking for?
In my opinion, it would be the major event days. I think that would be your best metric to use to see what is happening to the system, and also then to be able to pinpoint if it was the result of weather or if it was from an RTO shutting down. Yeah, major event days.
Okay, thank you.
I do not have any other questions.
Just one more clarification. So major event days as Victor described them?
Yes.
Earlier? Okay, perfect.
Okay. Thank you for being here. Kathy, did you have testimony for us today? Or? Okay, and Carly?
I do. I just didn't know if Otter Tail had any first, so I didn't know.
Oh, is someone online from Otter Tail? Let's see if it's Otter Tail first. Why don't we stick with the utilities first and then take the outside question?
Commissioners, thank you. For the record, my name is Carly McLeod. I'm with the Utility Shareholders of North Dakota. And I'm just going to address the penalty provision, number 4 in the proposed rule. I echo the comments of Ms. Harris from Xcel Energy. That provision lacks the specificity that we had been concerned about when 2313 had passed. In hearing some of the comments today, I think it's my understanding that you'd like to see some of the data perhaps before specifying things. I'm not sure if that's a correct understanding or not. But we do have the concern that that specificity isn't there because, of course, our utilities like to know what it is that their standards are, and they like to have those clear conclusions in the rule. That's it for my comments. I will be submitting written comments with addressing any of these concerns or any questions I may or may not be able to answer for you. But with that, I'll stand for questions.
Commissioner Karashis?
I don't think I have any questions for you, Carly. I'll have to work with staff. It's a curiosity, but I'll have to wait until after. Whether or not in another part of statute it ties back to an amount or not, but I'll have to, or can we do that now?
This isn't under siting or pipeline, so the maximum fine amount is $5,000.
In total?
Total. Per incident, so okay. If there's, I don't know that this one would break down into separate incidences per outage, but yeah, it would be, I think it would be, that would be the only way to increase the fine past $5,000 if it was a, for each separate incident. And I don't know, I haven't put thought into whether this would break down further or if it would be considered one.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's not why I asked I was just wondering if it ties back, you know, in terms of, but I think it's a point, it's a good point that you make in terms of, you know, what is the benchmark? Because that seems pretty vague.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I will say, you know, the penalty itself is one portion in that provision, in number four, but there are also exclusions, disallowances, requirements. And while the penalty may only be $5,000, the things that might be required of a utility might be extremely higher than that. So that sort of uncertainty makes companies uncomfortable.
Sure. Yep. No, appreciate that comment.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Hi there. Hi, Carly. Will you be filing with your comments recommendations for language you'd like to see clarifying this?
Commissioner Fedorchak, I had not anticipated drafting a full list of recommendations. I think that this is a pretty lofty endeavor to come up with all the specificity. That being said, I would be happy to work with your legal staff or, you know, take recommendations from you if that's something you'd like some recommendations. I'm not afraid to do some of the work, but I have a feeling your legal staff would prefer to be in charge of that process.
Don't disagree, but it's always helpful to start with some idea of where people are so we aren't, you know, miles apart.
Sure.
So if you have thoughts, I think it would be helpful.
Okay, thank you. I will do that.
Anything else, Madam Chair?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. I don't have any questions, but when I look across at Brian's bison helmet and see a new, then I think maybe it's Green Bay. I don't know.
I would be okay with that.
Okay, thank you, Carly.
Thank you.
So, looking around the room, everybody has either been offered or has already testified. So, Matt, did you say one online?
Correct.
Go ahead and open up the line.
Hello, please introduce yourself.
Hello, this is Matt Folsom from Otter Tail Power.
Good afternoon, Matt.
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Great. Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to speak here. We will follow up with our written comments on October 4th. So I'll just be brief here and follow from what you've already heard from the other utilities here. And our comments are pretty similar, actually, especially in that our system has certain capabilities that, you know, we can provide, you know, a good amount of data, but there are also, you know, some limitations. We do provide certain of these metrics already in our other jurisdictions. So certainly we'll enumerate that in our written comments, but that would be SAIDI, SAIFI, CAIDI, certainly. And so then to provide those to North Dakota here would be not a problem at all. But there are some additional ones which would present obstacles. Either our system doesn't capture it or it would require some amount of manual calculation. So we probably need some amount of further guidance on those things as to what the particular thresholds the commission desires there. So we'll describe that in our written comments, certainly. And then the reporting, I think as MDU described, there are some things that are provided at the, you know, certainly at the state level or the feeder level and our customer service center level. The greater granularity that we would be after, I think, would kind of comes from a combination of, you know, the field information layered on top of what the system already captures. So we have that available. That would be an element of additional effort, I believe. To my knowledge, we don't provide this data outright in a FERC context. So that would be something, Victor, we can certainly visit on, you know, what we do provide and what the limitations there might be. So another question that I've heard here that I'll just address is the cost of additional information to be provided here. I think we can address that in our written comments. Likely, there would be some increment of work for our software system that it doesn't currently capture, and whether that is capable or not, you know, I'll have to get back to you on that. But that would be one increment. And then the other, I think, major cost component we'd have is adding metering capability, because you know, we have the meters installed at certain points, and so you can capture the data right there. It is, you know, when you're seeking the data at a more granular basis where you'd need additional meters to capture that data. So that is, again, something we can comment on. I think that is kind of the extent of the things I wanted to offer at the outright, and certainly I can answer any questions you might have.
Commissioner Grosches?
So you referenced that you'll have some cost figures, which is great. I'd like to see those. But just so I understand this correctly, do you currently have the capability, and it would be more time-related, employee-related, or would it require software upgrades?
Yes, I think, Commissioner Grosches, it would be kind of a combination of those things. We do, as I said, you know, provide some reporting in our other jurisdictions, so the metrics that we currently report on, you know, there would be no cost to those things. The additional metrics, whether it's greater granularity or different entirely metrics, there are some of these things on the list here are not things that we currently capture. So I'd have to circle back with our engineering group to see if our system is able to add those things. If it is, it's likely a programming and sort of software change on the sort of the office side. And it could be that there's also metering capability that needs to be added in the field.
Okay. Well, I think that would be another question to the other two utilities, or component for the other two utilities listening as well, and that would be if they would have any metering needs to tie this up if the language stayed the way it currently is. So it'll be good to see those numbers for everyone, and then I think it'll be useful in terms of the decision-making process. Do you know how you rank currently with on the outage side of the equation from a reliability standpoint, average minutes per year?
Yes, Commissioner Crouches, we use a couple of different scales to track that metric. One is an EEI metric, and one is an IEEE benchmark, and we do rank in the top half, certainly, or sometimes higher in those indices. and I believe our system average interruption duration, our goal internally is 71 minutes per customer, and certainly try to get better than that if we can.
Okay, and that's excluding with or without med?
That would be excluding major event days.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
I believe.
Okay. All right. I look forward to seeing the numbers, Matt. Appreciate that.
Chairman Fedorchak.
Hi, Matt. It's interesting your comments about the metering, and I'd like you to add a little bit on how the new meters, the new AMI meters that you're proposing to install might help with this additional granularity that you'd be required to gather. Would those be a step in the right direction to help support that?
Commissioner Fedorchak, I won't say that I'm the expert on all things meters and how they fit together, but I do believe that you are on the right track. That certainly that's going to provide us a tremendous amount of data, and how that fits into these specific metrics, we can get back to you on, but certainly it should help us provide a great amount of data.
Great. That would be helpful to know how that new system might support the collection of some of this reliability information. So thank you. And I don't have any other questions.
Yes.
Appreciate you being part of it.
The AMI system was my only question too. Mr. Johnson, did you have anything else?
No, that's the one I had as well.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I'm talking to our Matt here now. But thank you, Matt at Ottertail, Matt at PSC. Are there any other callers?
Nope.
Okay. Did staff have anything to follow up?
Nothing further.
Okay. I'm just going to follow the script. Now, anyone else wish to testify? Wanted on the record. I will now close the hearing on case number PU-21-360. All comments provided in writing through the close of business October 4th, 2021 will be considered and discussed in our decision. Also, any changes made to the proposed rules due to the Commission's review of comments received or the Commission discussion will be explained in the written decision. The record will remain open until October 4th, 2021. The hearing is closed.